You're listening to the Qalam Institute podcast series, Ramadan Reflections by Mufti Hussein Kamani. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Qalam Institute.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa salamun ala ibadihi alladhi astafa, khususan ala Sayyidi Rasuli wa Khatim al-Anbiya, wa ala alihi al-Askiya wa ashabihi al-Atqiya, amma ba'd. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an, when he mentions the creation of the human being, he mentions that we created the human being in the most beautiful form. And then in one verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that when we created the human being, we honored the human being. And we honored the human being over the other creation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the human being very beautiful. And the creation of the human being is so beautiful that when we look at it, it amazes us. From the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created all the departments within our body. The mind is there, then you have the heart is there, and then the liver is there, and the kidneys are there, and the lungs are there. And how every part of the human body is fulfilling its responsibility. And there's so much to reflect over when it comes to the human body. Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us in the Qur'an, أَوَلَمْ يَتَفَكَّرُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ, that do you not reflect over yourself? If you just reflect into yourself, you will find the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But with all of this, with all of the beauty, and with all the greatness that Allah has created inside us, we as human beings are still very weak. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Qur'an, وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا, the human being was created weak. And as a part of our weakness, we experience this weakness within ourselves every so often. Sometimes you try your absolute best to prepare for an exam, but then you end up failing it. You think to yourself, I did everything possible. Where did that weakness come from? How did I feel it? Sometimes you try your absolute best to make a relationship work, but then at the end of it, it just doesn't work. Sometimes you try your absolute best to change a person's mind in terms of their religion and their understanding of God, but then you fail again. And at life, we realize every so often that we have so many weaknesses within ourselves. You can do whatever you want, but if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't help you, you will not be able to make the payment on that mortgage. You just can't do it. You can do whatever you want. You can work double shift, triple shift, whatever you want. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't help, it just can't happen. There was a friend of mine, he said to me, the Sheikh, a few months ago I had, first time in my life, $48,000 in my bank account. How much? He's a young guy. And I was like, wow, mashallah, that's from an American-born kid. Putting $48,000 together is it's a good amount of money, mashallah, right? In America, we can't save that kind of money. But he said, the unique thing is that I thought to myself that very soon, for the first time in my life, I will actually have the pride in saying that I now possess $50,000. But it's been 4 months since that day, and now my account is $42,000. It just won't go up. I'm trying to do whatever I can. I save. But it just won't pass that. It's as if I wanted to pass that threshold, but Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't want it to pass that threshold. And here I'm at battle with a being that's way beyond me, and I realize that I'm just going to leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have weaknesses. And it's not only us. Sometimes we go too hard on ourselves. And when we see our relationships aren't working out, or when we see that our kids aren't obedient to us, or when we see that our parents are not obedient to us, you know, aren't listening to us, they're not compassionate, they're not showing that empathy to us, we think that it's us, and life is so hard on me, and why is it so difficult for me, and there is no purpose in life for me, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't listening to me. When the reality of the matter is, that's not true. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests those servants of His who are most beloved to Him. As parents, sometimes we're worried about children, that what's going to happen to my child? Will my child be obedient or will he be disobedient? We as parents can do whatever we want. We can give them the best education and give them the best friend group and do all the good things. But at the end of the day, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has planned otherwise, there is nothing we can do in the world. And we see this in the story of Nuh alayhi salam. There is no father that can be a father like a prophet of Allah. But at the end of the day, his son, Allah azza wa jal, mentions that he died without iman, he died without Islam. There is no doubt that Nuh alayhi salam didn't fulfill his responsibility. But yet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who accepts, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives. We see in the story of Ayyub alayhi salam, such a great prophet of Allah. But yet, he is suffering from an illness, and he's weak. And just as we realize that no matter how much the doctor tries, at the end of the day, who is the one who gives cure? Allah. Wallahi, this is very true. There are so many times this has happened that doctors have given up hope, that there is no hope in this person. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to cure someone, He is in no need of a surgical tool. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in no need for any radiation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in no need for a doctor or a hospital. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to give cure, He gives cure in mystical ways, in amazing ways beyond our imagination. And Ayyub alayhi salam, he realized that where his community gave up on him, because his community actually took his body and they left it by the dump area. And when he realized that his family gave up on him, his community gave up on him, and he was just so low on himself, he turned to the one that always gives to the one who calls on to him. And he said, Rabbi inni massani adh-dhur wa anta arhamur rahimin. Oh my Lord, difficulty has come to me and you are the one who gives mercy. Yunus alayhi salam gave up hope on his people and he left. You know, sometimes we give up hope on our own. We give up hope on our community. We give up hope on our family. We give up hope on our children. We give up hope on each other. But that's not our job to give up hope. We don't have the right to give up hope. That's the whole thing. Our job is to only try. And if we feel like we're not doing anything, just continue trying. You can't give up hope. That's not in our control. We can't give up hope on people. And Nuh alayhi salam gave up hope on his people and he left. And Allah azza wa jal had a fish swallow him. A whale swallow him. And when it swallowed him, the fish and whale went all the way to the bottom of the sea. And the stomach of the whale was touching the seabed. And it was kind of the rocks on the ground were imprinting on the stomach. And Yunus alayhi salam was very weak at this point. He hadn't eaten for days. He was gone very weak inside there. And now he thinks to himself that I made a mistake. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have given up hope on them. Then he's thinking, I need to call on Allah. But then he's thinking to himself, look how low I am in the earth. I'm at the bottom of the ocean. You know, how can I call on Allah from here? And then when he lies on the ground, he hears the stones doing tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jal mentions in the Quran, إِذْ أَبَقَ إِلَى الْفُلْكِ الْمَشْحُونَ فَسَاهَمَ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُدْحَدِينَ فَالْتَقَمَهُ الْحُوتُ وَهُوَ مُلِيمٌ فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ. He heard them doing tasbih, so he started doing tasbih too. He started praising Allah. And what was his praise to Allah? لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. I was weak, O Allah, you are not weak. I was the one that was an oppressor. And then Allah Azza wa Jal, He gives him health again. Allah Azza wa Jal gives him everything back again. And there are so many stories in the Quran of this nature. We have to remember as human beings that we are also weak. And there are so many things that we will try, but ultimately we're going to end up giving up because we do not have the strength to do it. That's why there is one thing that is very powerful for a believer, which is making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever you make an effort, whenever you have qabiliya, along with that qabiliya, you must also have qabuliya, you must have acceptance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You must always make dua to Allah azza wa jal. Your dua is like a weapon for you. No matter how strong the army is in your opposition, they will fall if you have a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you can make dua to Allah. Otherwise, we can become we can hold all the nuclear power in the world. We can become the superpower of the world. But wallahi al-azim, our weight will be nothing if we have no connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not saying that those who are proactive in the field and doing a lot of work on establishing the Muslim community on the greater scale, that they're doing wrong. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that we need to all go on that field, but at the same time, we need to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to establish a firm relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if we haven't learned this from the past 5 days, from the past 5 reflections, then I'm not sure when we're going to learn this. That it's not about numbers, it's not about strength. If it's anything, it's about how our relationship is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is one day sitting with Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. And Abdullah ibn Abbas is a very young kid. The hadith is in Bukhari that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, Abdullah ibn Abbas was just reaching the age of maturity. Maybe 11, 12 years old. So one day he was the radif. He was riding the animal with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Nawawi quotes this hadith in his Arba'in. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Oh young man, I will give you some advice. Listen carefully. And then he said, Yes, Messenger of Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, very beautiful hadith, right? He said, وَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. When you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوِجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَن يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَن يَنْفَعُوكَ إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكَ. that if the entire nation gathered together to give you something that Allah has not written for you, can they give it to you? Impossible. And وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَضُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ. And if they gather together to harm you on something that Allah has not written for you, then can they harm you? Haven't we learned this from the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam? That he's taking the knife and he's running it over his son's neck, but now the knife lost its effect. Have you guys ever heard of that before? Right? Even the knife is losing its effect because he has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on his side. And that same Ibrahim alayhi salam is being launched in the fire. Okay? He's being launched in the fire. And when he lands in the fire, people are expecting him to be roasted. They aren't even expecting to see his ashes. But then they see Ibrahim alayhi salam walking out of the fire without any harm on him at all. Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah. Who is the one that's helping him? How is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helping him? We have to learn to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to build a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us in a very beautiful hadith, al-Qudsi, that Allah azza wa jal says that if all the insan and all the jinn gather together in one plain, in one large field, from the beginning of mankind till the end of mankind, if billions and billions of us gather together in one large plain, and we asked Allah at one time whatever we wanted, in 1 second we asked Allah for whatever we wanted. One of the small kids could have asked, oh Allah, give me 1 billion Xbox. You can ask for whatever you want. Allah Azza wa Jal says, and if I gave every single one of you whatever you wanted, how much would that deduct from my kingdom? Not even equivalent to a needle being dipped inside an ocean. You know when you're flying over the ocean and inside a plane, international flight, you open the window and it's water, you close it. A few hours later, you open it again, it's still water, you close it. A few hours later, you open it again. You know how wide the ocean is? And then imagine the depth of the ocean. All of that. And then what happens is you take a needle, dip it inside. How much does it deduct from the ocean? Anything? Someone may say 1 drop. But when you pull that needle up, what happens to the drop? Even that falls right back inside. Nothing is deducted from the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only thing is that we need to learn to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we ask Allah, there are certain benefits. The first thing, when we make dua to Allah, we learn how weak we are. Until you don't make dua to Allah, you will never realize how weak you actually are. And trust me, everybody knows of their weakness. No matter how nice your house is, or how big your, how beautiful and expensive your car is, you know, your cars and houses can't hide your need to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because remember, when you go for that job interview, you still go to Maulvi Sahib and Qari Noman and say to him, Shaykh, please make dua that I pass my job interview. Yes or no? Right? And you still wake up in Tahajjud Salah and you raise your hand saying, oh Allah, I need your help for the job interview. But it's interesting, as soon as we pass the job interview, who's the first person we forget? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make dua to Allah, oh Allah, I have to pass the MCAT, I have to get into med school, my dad will disown me, I'm desi. I have desi blood running in my veins. There's no other way. I can't become an educator, I can't be a psychologist. These are all like scum. I have to be doctor. And when you're passing that MCAT, you're making dua to Allah, please, I have to be doctor, Allah, please, I have to be doctor. And as soon as we pass it, guess who we forget first? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the first person we forget. And the testimony to that is that we use our exams as excuses for missing our salah. We use our exams as excuses for not fasting. We use our career as excuses for not having children. We use our career as excuse for not getting married. We use our career as excuse for engaging in haram. What happened to you begging from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So when you ask Allah, you learn how weak you actually are. The second benefit of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is you learn how great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. You learn of your weakness and you learn of the greatness of Allah. Allah azza wa jal says, لَهُ مَقَالِدُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Right? Allah azza wa jal says, وَإِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُ. That Allah azza wa jal, forget about the treasures belonging to Allah, even the keys to the treasures belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't access the treasures of Allah without the keys, and Allah azza wa jal possesses those kings as well. Allah azza wa jal possesses those keys as well. Look how much we are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third thing that we learn from making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that when we make dua to Allah, we don't lose anything, we actually gain. If we ask from other people, we degrade ourselves. If I was to stand up here right now and say to the community members that I need to buy a house and I need someone to help me finance it privately from the community, I've just degraded myself. You guys understand that? By asking people, you show them that you need them and you drop your value. But when you ask Allah, do you drop your value or do you raise your value? You raise it. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ الَّذِي أَنْقَضَ ظَهْرَكَ وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرًا. With every difficulty there comes ease. إِنَّ مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرًا. With every difficulty there is ease. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. After, when it's time for you to stand, when it's time that you're alone, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ, when you're alone, فَانْصَبْ, stand in front of Allah in prayer. وَإِلَى رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ, and hasten towards your Lord. Because the way through difficulty, the way you get ease is by running to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not running to other people. You gain it through going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's very interesting, the Arabic poet, he says, إِذَا اشْتَدَّ بِكَ الْبَلْوَى فَفَكِّرْ فِي أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ فَإِنَّ الْيُسْرَ بَيْنَ عُسْرَيَيْنِ إِذَا تَفَكَّرْتَ فِيهِ فَفْرَحْ. He says, when times become hard in life, focus on the surah أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ. إِذَا اشْتَدَّ بِكَ الْبَلْوَى فَفَكِّرْ فِي أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ. Because when you look at the surah, you see the word yusr surrounds two usrs. Ease surrounds difficulty. When you ponder over that, that there's ease, and then there's a little difficulty, and then there's more ease, fafrah, it will make you very, very happy. So when we lower ourselves in front of Allah, we realize that it doesn't actually degrade us, it elevates us. You know, the Arabic poet, he says, لَا تَسْأَلَنَّ بُنَيَّ آدَمَ حَاجَةً. Do not ask from the son of Adam of any need. وَسَلِ الَّذِي أَبْوَابُهُ لَا تُحْجَبْ. Ask the one whose doors are never closed. اللَّهُ يَغْضَبْ إِن تَرَكْتَ سُؤَالَهُ. Allah becomes angry if you stop asking him. وَبَنِيَّ آدَمْ حِينَ يُسْأَلْ يَغْضَبْ. And the son of Adam, when you ask them, they become angry. If you ask me, if I ask you, we become angry. But if we stop asking Allah, that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes angry. Okay? And the last thing is that when we make dua to Allah, we build a very solid, intimate relationship with Allah. My teacher used to always say that if you want to see how solid your connection is with Allah, it's a very easy thing. Just go and see how long you can make dua without getting tired. You know how sometimes when you go to a foreign state, you go to somewhere weird, like Arkansas or something, okay? When you go there, you go to visit a friend, and it happens to be your friend's cousin's getting married, and he says to you, come with me. Have you guys ever been in that kind of situation? Where you're in a different state, and your relative or friend says, I have someone else getting married, come with me. And you go to that wedding, or when you go to that part of your wedding, you're the only person there, and you don't know anyone. And all of a sudden, the tablecloth becomes very interesting, and the carpet patterns are now very relevant, and you're realizing the different dents you have in your watch, and you're thinking, where did I get this dent? You know, kind of like Khalid Walid radiallahu anhu, he knew all of the bruises in his body. You're thinking of all the different times, which happened where, and all the most weird things become interesting, and you just keep asking yourself, when can I get out of here? You know, the people that are at your table, the only kind of conversation you can make with them is, Assalamu alaikum, brother, how are you? What's your name? What do you do? MashaAllah. Assalamu alaikum, brother, how are you? What do you do? MashaAllah. Assalamu alaikum, brother, how are you? That's all we can say. That's what happens when most of us, and what the only thing that comes to your mind is, I gotta get out of here because this is very awkward. Yes or no? I gotta get out of here because it's very awkward. That's what happens to most of us when we come to the masjid. We raise our hands in front of Allah. Oh Allah, you're great. Oh Allah, you're first. Oh Allah, you're last. Oh Allah, you're great. Oh Allah, you're first. We don't know what to say. It's so awkward. And then we keep looking at the clock. We're looking at the carpet while Qadi Sahib's reading his salah. And we think, when do we get out of here? When do I get out of here? When do I get out of here? Your dad comes 10 minutes late to pick you up. You're swearing at your dad underneath your breath. Oh my God, I can't believe he's late again. And it's so awkward. All we're trying to do is get out of there. We have to ask ourselves, is our connection with Allah awkward? And when you're with your friends, if you're sitting with some friends, someone that you love, your wife, your children, your good friends, do you look at the time? Every 5 minutes? Every 2 minutes? Sometimes the entire night will pass by and you'll say, wow, I didn't realize 6 hours went by. Because you don't get tired of speaking to friends. And this is what happens to those who are friends with Allah. They don't get tired from asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something we can gauge ourselves with. The power of our dua and how long we can make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I met one scholar in Hajj, with this I'll end. I believe it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago. We were in Medina Munawwara. We just finished giving our regards to those buried in Baqi'ul Gharqad in the graveyard of Medina Munawwara. And when we were going back to our hotel, we just gave salam to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we were leaving. And when we were passing by, when we were going to our hotel, I saw one sheikh, and I recognized the sheikh because I had seen that sheikh almost 10 years ago in Bombay. His name is Sheikh Munir. And I saw him, I said, Sheikh Munir? He said, yes. I said, look, we've come with a group of young men right here, and sisters as well, but the sisters weren't there. And we came for Hajj. Can you please give us some advice? And subhanAllah, he gave some very good advice. Do you guys want to hear that advice? Actually, I didn't prepare to give it to you guys. Let me see if I can find it very quickly. It might be in my notes somewhere. I'm not going to find it. Okay, let's leave it. Maybe another time I'll give you guys advice. It was some very good advice he gave. At the end of that advice, one thing that he said was that he said at the end of that advice, he said, in my group, we have a competition to see who can make dua for longer. You guys ever heard of competitions? Who can read more Quran? Who can read more salawat? He said, we have competition to see who can make dua for longer. And he said, the longest dua made in our group so far was a sister who made dua, if I remember correctly, he said, for 9 hours straight. How many hours?
9 hours.
We were in Medina Munawwara, in Masjid al-Nabawi, and he's telling us this, that there was 8 to 9 hours, something like this. Can we imagine 8 to 9 minutes, first of all? When the imam is making dua and khatm al-Quran, we're saying, Ya Allah, please let the imam have mercy on us. The ladoos are getting cold. The samosas are going to be hard. I'm standing at the back. I'm sweating. We're making lame excuses. It's 8, 9 minutes, that is. And here, 8, 9 hours. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a tawfiq to learn to make dua first. Understand the importance of making dua. And there is no time in the year in which it is so important to learn to make dua than the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Is that true or false? So we're going to focus on learning how to make dua, inshallah. And the next few reflections, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to understand what has been said. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.